Hey guys, it's Damien from Marketing Food Online, and today I'm really excited about bringing you this information. Cottage food business in the state of California is what we're going to talk about, and I'm going to go over several items that you will need to have in place before you can get your cottage food business up and running in the great state of California. All right, guys. So here's what I'm going to do. I came across a truly amazing resource for cottage food business operators in the state of California. The regulations in the state of California in regards to cottage food business can be kind of challenging to understand, I guess you want to say. So I've cleared up quite a bit of that information with this podcast, as well as the YouTube video this is going to be posted on. So I wanted to help out. I get a lot of requests from the state of California from people who are looking to create food businesses from home. But there's two types of Class A and Class B licenses that are given to food operators from home. And I want to kind of clarify some of the information aside from getting that certain type of Class A or Class B licensing. And the other items, types of formalities that need to be taken care of, and some things that you should understand prior to taking the dive into a food business from home. So let's get right into it. As always, I want to get right to the information that you need. Really quick as well, by the way, if you haven't subscribed to my channel or my YouTube channel or my podcast, definitely subscribe. We've got a lot of great information from Marketing Food Online that helps you get your food business up and running in pretty much any state, actually. If you want to get a retail package ready, I can show you how to do that. We've got information on how to sell food online, how to create a food product, where you can take it, how to get it out there, and basically take your recipe to market. Okay, so let's get into it. I'm going to start right off the top, the business license, a business tax certificate. So required for all entities doing business within the city limits, for businesses that are located outside of the city limits. These are going to be some, I want to cover really quick also that these are going to be some tidbits of information that will vary just slightly based upon the city that you're going to be in, okay? But the gist of actually what I'm going to give you today covers a lot of the cities. They're relatively going to be the same across the board. There may be very slight variation. And what I'm going to give you down in the description is actually the most important part of this podcast and the most important part of this YouTube video is the fact that it's going to give you the information that you need to find out your specific bit of information about your city. And you can definitely take a look at that in the link down below. Once you click on it, it's going to take you to a website link that will allow you to choose your city and then simply hit search, and it's going to give you, it's already preset. I've got it all set up for you. You can take a look at it under the cottage food operations criteria, and then the website's already set. You simply put your city in, and it will tell you all the additional things that you'll need to get up and running. So let's cover the business license. Of course, for cottage food operation, you need to definitely have, obviously, a business license to have a business. That also goes for any type of home-based business, commercial businesses as well, and everything in between. But a lot of home-based food operators don't understand that you really do need to have a business license to operate a business from your home. Now, the next thing you want to need is a home occupation permit. Okay, this is required for home-based businesses, just in general, actually. If it's a food business, of course, but if you're operating other types of businesses from home, a home occupation license. If you are working from home or any area zoned residential, you will need a home occupation permit, okay? And again, for the additional information on how to get that type of a permit, I'll have that link down below. So everything that I'm going to go over and cover in this podcast to inform you about, you can definitely access this information, and I want you to take a look at it for yourself. Find out what city, obviously, that you're in. You would know that better than I would. And then from there, you'll be much more informed and much more in a position of being ready to start your business. Now, we've gone over the home occupation permit, the land use permit and zoning clearance. So something you need to understand, you would contact the planning department within your city that's in charge of the zoning. Now, what is zoning, you might ask, if you're not familiar with it? Everything in a city, a state, and of course the country, everywhere has a certain type of zoning, okay? You have residential zoning, you have commercial zoning, and so on and so on. when you are operating a business in what is considered by the city to be zoned as residential, you got to make sure that you are getting that run by the local zoning department, that they are aware that you're operating a business, because technically a zoning area that is residential is for people to live in their homes and to live within the means of a neighborhood and a place where you've got a home, not necessarily a commercial zoning situation where you've got stores and restaurants and other things, malls and things. Those are separated from residential areas for that reason, and that's where the zoning differences come into play. So it's very important to understand the impact and how that is and what that really means, okay? That's not saying that you cannot have a business in a residential area. Just understand that there is a different type of zoning for that reason. So the department that you would contact for that would be the city planning department, and they would be able to be more specific, again, about your city as to what it would be allowed and what would not be allowed based upon that zoning. Now, cottage food operation registration permit. Okay, so again, in the state of California, as I mentioned, Class A CFOs, which is a cottage food operation, CFOs are only allowed to engage in what's known as direct sales. Okay, so Class A, and this is what I'm going to go over really quick, so pay really attention, important attention to this. Class A allows you to engage in direct sales. What that means is you, as the person making the food product, has to hand that product, when they purchase it, over to the customer. So it's a simple transaction from you to your customer. There's nobody in between. There's no middleman. There's no wholesalers, food brokers, retail stores, none of that. Class A permits allow you to sell to the customer. Okay. Class B CFOs may engage in both direct sales and what's known as indirect sales of cottage food that is created in a cottage food kitchen. Okay. So, all cottage food operations must be registered and permitted, of course, with their local environmental health agencies before commencing businesses within their home and the residency. So be aware that you have to have that too, okay? If you have the capacity and you have the ability and the desire to have the Class B license, that's going to open up a lot of new doors other than just direct sales. Indirect sales would be the sales that you can get, you can do directly with a restaurant, if it happens to be a retail store, a convenience store, a cafe, if you're making baked goods and you want to sell them to a coffee shop, and then the coffee shop takes it and sells it to a customer. That is where you have that kind of middleman, if you will, between you and the final customer, okay? So the Class B CFO will allow you to engage in those two types of transactions. So just so you understand the difference between the two. Now, actually, by the way, really quick side note, California is kind of really unique in the offering of those two types of licenses. Most states, when it comes to cottage food businesses, most states actually only allow you to do direct sales. There's actually very few. There's even some states, which are very limited, by the way, but some states even allow you to transact online through a website, and then you can have that customer come either to your residency or you bring it to them, or it's a direct, again, direct sale where you're bringing it and the transactions with the end user is you and the end user, okay? So California has those two variations in licenses, and it's very unique that in the fact that they have that. So now the other thing is the cottage food operation, what's known as the self-certification checklist, okay? Class A cottage food operators, they have to submit a completed self-certification checklist approved by the local environmental health agency, okay? When they submit their registration application. Now, when it comes to the Class B operations, must submit a permit application and be inspected prior to obtaining a permit from the local environmental health agency. So let me explain to you what, when you're getting the agency of the local environmental health agency involved, okay, when you're working with them, the reason why is that, here's an example. In some states, home cottage food businesses work with a septic tank, okay? And you have to understand the difference. So you have city water and you have septic tanks, okay? So you have water that traditionally would go into the city process where it, when you flush a toilet, when you use a sink, when you use water from your home, it goes into city sewer, okay? Some people have septic tanks. Now, the reason why it's important for the Environmental Health Agency to be aware of what you're doing is that when it comes to the maintenance of a septic tank, it needs to be functioning properly. When you begin to bake and produce a food product and you've got butter, grease, fats, or anything like that, that is technically, as you wash the dishes and you're cleaning these utensils, it's going to go into your septic tank. Okay, there's small particles, small bits of it. But when you begin to make it on a commercial, kind of in a commercial sense, where you're producing a lot of cookies and muffins, whatever it may be, and you've got a buildup of butter and fats and oils, right? And that accumulates in your septic tank. If something were to happen where the septic tank explodes or leaks or begins to not function properly, that becomes an environmental issue. That's going to be a problem because then the Environmental Health Agency wants to step in and make sure, hey, everything that's in your septic tank's not going to damage the water aquifer. It's not going to get into the water system. It's not going to leak down underneath your neighbor's house or something to that effect. It becomes an environmental issue. That's really something that you need to be aware of just to understand the impact that that has. That's why they're involved, okay? I know down in the South, in Georgia, Carolinas, many of the homes actually are on septic tanks. So many of the cottage food operators have to get their septic tanks looked at to make sure they're functioning properly. And again, the environmental health, the local health board, or the local health department, not the board, local health department will be aware of it so they can come out and know, hey, you know what? Bill's working out of his house. He's making cookies and baked goods. So we need to make sure that everything's working good so there's no issues. Okay? All right. Next one up. We got the fictitious business name or doing a business as statement. Now, this is really unique. This is really in regards to the legalities of your business. A fictitious name, which is known as an FBN or a DBA, which is doing business as statement, is what is required when the business name does not include a individual owner's name, okay, and each of the partners, or the business name suggests that it exists, the existence of it has different additional owners. What does that mean? Okay, I'll give you an example. So Ted Smith and Sons Plumbing, right? If the name of his company was Ted Smith and Plumbing, Ted Smith and Sons Plumbing, it would require an FBN. Okay, because the name implies additional owners. Okay, so if you've got, you know, Susie and John Smith's cookie company, you would need to have it under require an FBN. Okay, because you're implying that the name of the company has multiple owners' names on it. Okay, what would be best to not require an FBN? If you, instead of using the John and Susie Smith's cookie company, just John Smith's cookies, okay? That would be something that you could use that would not require an FBN because it's not identifying the nature of the business, the way that the business is incorporated as. Does that make sense? So if you've got multiple names of multiple owners on the name of the business, then that's going to need to have an FBN, okay? All right. So let's move on. The next one, you're going to also need the temporary food facility and special events permit. Okay, so let me explain what this is. Temporary food facilities, a TFF it's called, or food booths, are food operations that operate at approved public events. Okay, a health permit would be then, of course, required to operate a TFF. If you have food or beverage is being sampled, sold, prepared, or given away in public. Okay, so if you're in a public situation, you're at an event, you need to have a permit, special events permit for that, okay, for that purpose. Again, as you go and you look at your city, these types of licensing and everything I'm covering in this video may vary ever so slightly, okay, but these are kind of like the things that you really need to be aware of. So having a TFF, the temporary food facilities permit, special events permit, is something that may come across in your city. All right, now cottage food labeling requirements. So how do you label a food product that you produce at home? And what is required from that? Okay, cottage food products are required to be labeled, of course, in accordance with specific state and federal labeling regulations, okay? This list of labeling requirements is intended to assist cottage food operators, CFO operators, in complying with the basic labeling laws and regulations, okay? So this is, again, something, and the note here is pretty much that you would need to consult the county for the local labeling requirements. So if your county requires something above and beyond what is standardly on a food label, you need to make sure that you're aware of what the county requires. So that's something else you need to check on. And again, you do that by your county. Now, there is cottage food operator training, okay? So there's a requirement for any person who will prepare or package food, complete a food processor course within 3 months of becoming registered or permitted, okay, to retain as proof that they have completed the required training. You must present a copy of this. It's actually a small little type of card certificate, for each person involved in preparing cottage foods to your local county and enforcement agency, okay? So what happened was you basically apply for this training program, and once you get that card, that certificate, then you're good to go, okay? And it must be something that you you need to have basically within the premises, the if wherever you're preparing the food and the products within the facility, you need to have it available, okay? So any person who prepares or packages those foods must complete that course. Now, the California, becoming registered and permitted every 3 years during the operation. So you have a three-year period. The California Department of Public Health has identified training that you may take that will satisfy the training requirements specified by the Health and Safety Code, okay? So again, this will be something that you can get from the health department within the state of California, and they have a specific bit of information, education that you would need to have, okay? All right, so sales and use permit, okay? A seller's permit. All businesses selling or leasing tangible property must obtain a seller's permit, okay? And that includes the coverage of a cottage food operator, okay? So what you're looking for is information about a resale certificate. You can actually go to, and again, I'll give you that information down below. That is a government site you can get, and that allows you the ability to get collect sales tax and, of course, submit that to the state. So now the other thing is the state income tax information. So businesses should obtain the appropriate state income tax forms as well from the tax board in order for you to make sure that you are accounting for that income, your state income tax, as well as a cottage food operator. Let's get on down to the EIN. So the employer identification number, that is actually something employers with employees or business partnerships and or corporations must obtain an employer identification number. That's called the EIN. And that's from the IRS. Businesses can obtain appropriate federal income tax forms from that location as well. So basically the EIN is going to give your business, let's say in a sense, it's going to give it a specific number. It's going to establish a number, and the government will recognize that number as your entity, okay, as your business. So as you file your taxes, you will need to definitely have an EIN, okay? Okay, sorry about that. I record my podcast here in my place of business, and sometimes the phone actually ringing. Sorry about that. Okay, so lastly, of course, is a CFO can only have one full-time equivalent employee, okay? That's not counting family members or household members. Employees hired after 1986 must provide a proof of eligibility for work. Now, this is something that you can double-check again through, that's actually the U.S. Immigration and Naturalization Service, and the proof of residency requirement for that. So if you begin to have payroll, of course, and you're beginning to pay, this is another aspect of running the business that you just want to give you a heads up. So with that being said, guys, I hope all this information, I don't want to overwhelm you too much with it, but I hope this information helps you out and helps you understand that there are some other aspects to having a cottage food business to think about as you begin to get the ball rolling and getting things up and running. I will put the direct link for this information down below. You can take a look at it, and again, you just simply type in your city in the top and then hit that search button, and it's going to help you guys out, okay? So if this was really informative, as always, please do give me a thumbs up. I appreciate you guys' support and listening, and if you're not subscribed, again, really quick, I would definitely subscribe to our channel. We've got hundreds of videos to help you out, and until I hear and see you on the next podcast or YouTube video, do take care and have a great day, and thank you guys for joining me today.